I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you.
That's me singing to a steak. It'll be a blue Christmas without you. I saw an article from the States, actually, where they're saying now in the United States, where beef was always the preferred protein, it's now given away to chicken. Well, that's common sense, right? That the price of beef, not only here, but in the United States, where the cattle herd is at an almost all-time low, people are looking for other options. And we get talking about food. We always have an opportunity to chat with the food professor, Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, food distribution and policy professor at Dalhousie University, Agri-Food Analytics Lab, and he's also a visiting scholar in food distribution and policy at McGill University. He's a busy guy, so we're lucky to get a few minutes with him every once in a while. Dr. Charlebois, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. So what's on the menu at the Charlebois house for Christmas? Turkey? Pot roast? What are you thinking?
Funny that you asked, because I'm actually grocery shopping like right now with my wife. So I told her, because we lived in Saskatchewan before, well, I have a call with the Saskatchewan. So, oh, no problem. Take your time, honey. So there you go. But we're shopping. We're preparing. Obviously, we're hosting on the 24th. We got the 25th also, and the 26th for brunch. So there's a lot going on. So we're going for turkey for the 24th, and we're going to have that tourtière, which is the meat pie, very popular in Quebec. And, of course, on the 26th, it's going to be there's going to be a nice brunch with, well, the usual, the bacon, the charcuterie board with cheese and deli, and, of course, eggs and everything else. So, yeah, right. Lots to eat.
And your address is?
Yeah, exactly. Only takeout, Brett.
Okay, well, we love spending some time with you to talk about food. Canada's food price report for 2026 is out, so we have an opportunity to look back as to how your predictions fared through 2025 and what you're thinking for the coming year here.
Well, yeah, so we didn't have great news. So on December 4th, we did release Canada's food price report. And I believe we spoke to Evan at the time. It was either on the day of or the day after. And obviously, news weren't great. We're expecting food prices to go up by as much as 6%. So for a family of four, for a typical family of four, that food bill will likely rise by about $1,000, so $995 overall. If you're sticking to the ideal food basket, chances are a lot of people will be extremely careful and may decide to offer substitutes to bring down that bill as much as possible. And the main culprits, well, meat.
Yeah.
Meat I'm actually at the meat counter right now, and prices are unbelievably high for all three components of the meat trifecta: pork, chicken, and beef. It all started with beef, and of course everything else followed a few months later. So that's certainly one reason. And the other reason, of course, is it's all the pantry stuff at the center of the store. So the dry goods like dry pasta, spices, nuts, coffee, tea, all those things, they're going to get more expensive for 2026, unfortunately.
Boy, you're the Grinch here, aren't you?
Yeah, I know. So, but there are some good news, though. I mean, if you're looking for stable prices, I'd say stick to frozen, dairy, I'd say that fruits aren't going to be bad in 2026. With vegetables, we're looking at an increase of about 4%. So, yes, above average, but it's not that bad. And of course, bakery. So if bakery's stable and dairy's stable, I'm thinking grilled cheese here. So if you're a grilled cheese lover, you're good to go.
Yeah, and what is it, not to get too far off track here, but I see where U.S. President Trump is throwing out some of the matters they want to deal with the Kuzma negotiations, and again, they seem to be going after Canada's dairy industry, so that's something to look forward to in the new year as well.
Well, if you're looking forward to that, that's great, not me, because it's going to be a very tough one for Prime Minister Carney. I mean, at the end of the day, at some point, we're going to have to stop agreeing and concede some to the United States and give them some market access while writing checks to dairy farmers. What I find incredibly troubling last time around when during Trump 1.0 is that we did concede and we ended up writing checks to dairy farmers that they don't really need compensation. Why? Well, just look at the data. So we're giving them up to $3 billion over the next 8 years because they claim that these trade deals are costing them money and they're costing them market share. But look at the number, Brent. They're producing more milk than ever. So the numbers don't add up for any compensation whatsoever. So my concern for 2026 is that we may decide to concede, give Americans more market access, and continue to subsidize our dairy sector, and they don't really need the money because they have all the protection they need.
So you're saying we're going to be spending about another $80 or $90 on the average family food bill through the course of 2026 compared to this past year. Do you have localized numbers? How did Saskatchewan fare in 2025?
Actually, we're expecting Saskatchewan to be below average for next year. So that's the good news for people in Saskatchewan. Because, over the last year or so, the province has been above average, and it's always cyclical when it comes to provinces. So we are expecting prices to increase in Saskatchewan, in both Saskatoon and Regina, but not as much as the national average. So that's the good news there for people in Saskatchewan. We are expecting, some store openings here and there, independent store openings over the next little while, and that's going to put some pressure. And, of course, in Regina, there's the new Costco. That's actually adding pressure on retailers to keep prices as low as possible.
So that's a positive impact from having a Costco in your neighborhood then?
It's the Costco effect. Same for Walmart, by the way. So as soon as you hear that Costco is opening up a new store, and they're opening up a new store every 6 months in the country. And that's not Costco's way. Costco typically would take anywhere between 4 to 5 years before opening any store, like a store in Canada. But now they're very successful, and their strategy is incredibly effective. So Saskatchewan is going to benefit from these Costco effect, at least in Regina, for the next little while.
We know that the cattle herd in Canada and the U.S. especially is at an all-time low, and I know people in the cattle industry are saying it's going to take at least a couple of years for those beef numbers to get back up there. So you'd mentioned earlier beef being a big part of what's driving the higher food prices. That's not going away anytime soon then.
Often, Brent, I'm asked, what can the government do in terms of when it comes to food, meat prices, and they can do something about it. It amazes me that Ottawa has been incredibly quiet about beef prices when they could actually, launch an investigation, look into meat packing. Meat packing in Canada is controlled by two companies. If you talk to your cattle ranchers out there, they'll tell you that they're not necessarily happy with what's going on because beef prices are skyrocketing and they have no say about what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I'd look into GBS, I'd look into Cargill. In the United States, they did exactly that. Donald Trump, President Trump, is going after meat packers in the U.S., and they're allowing more meat from Argentina, I believe from Brazil as well. Well, in Canada, we haven't seen anybody in Ottawa politicizing the issue. And, of course, there's a committee, an advisory committee, looking at TRQs, imported beef from elsewhere, to look into, maybe we should import more beef to ease the pressure. And that committee has not met since 2015. And what happened in 2015? Trudeau got elected.
Yeah. I bought my first pack of Australian steaks. I have yet to try them, but I was just curious when I saw them in the store the other day. I can't tell you what the price was because, like so many people buying beef these days, I just kind of closed my eyes and put it in my grocery cart, chose to ignore what the price was.
So, we're looking at the data in terms of how beef prices are impacting behavior, and we're not seeing any evidence that people are giving up on beef.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just buying less of it for sure. And they are hedging. I mean, they are looking at pork a little bit more seriously. They're looking at chicken, but chicken is also up. Like whole chicken prices are up 27% year to year.
Yeah.
And that's supply managed. It shouldn't. And the reason why it's up is because of the fact that, well, beef is too expensive. So people are pivoting towards chicken, and now chicken prices are out of whack. So this is the other thing I would do if I were the government in Ottawa. I would have a chat with the Chicken Farmers of Canada, because they haven't really produced enough chicken in 9 cycles. A cycle is 8-9 weeks. They haven't produced enough chicken in 9 cycles. That's a year and a half. So what's going on with supply management? Are we supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to be producing enough chicken for ourselves, and that's not the case. And we're importing a record amount of American chicken from the United States, about 45 million kilos. So if I were Ottawa, I certainly would sit down with the Chicken Farmers of Canada and ask them serious questions about what's going on with production.
I can't recall a time we've talked so much about food on this radio station as as we get the food professor on, but you bring such interesting information. Good luck getting back to the shopping, and Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we'll chat again in the new year.
Merry Christmas to you, and if Evan is listening in, well, Merry Christmas to you, Evan.
You got it.
Talk to you next year.
All right, take care. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, the food professor. And yeah, not so good the news there in their report that came out in December here. Looking ahead to 2026, he says the average family of four in Canada, maybe slightly less in Saskatchewan, but you'll be spending about another $1,000 over the course of the year. So add another $80 to $90 to your monthly family food budget. And then, of course, you throw in higher property taxes. I guess the one saving grace right now, gas prices are low, at least lower than they've been in some time. Let's hope that stays that way for some time now. That always helps bring down those inflation numbers that come out every month. You know, you'll go to the grocery store and you know your food is costing you more, and then you hear them say, oh, inflation only up 1 point or something like that. And of course, their fallback is, well, gasoline was down in price. Okay, we got a little bit of time left in the show. It's 20 after the hour. Brent Laux, till the bottom of the hour. The Evan Bray Show on CKOM and CJME. Bottom of the hour here. Good morning. Brent Laux filling in on the Evan Bray Show here today. We were talking earlier about this scary situation for an individual that was cross-country skiing up at Emma Lake on Saturday morning and fell through the ice. The fire department up there had posted the information on their Facebook page and talked about how they were successful to bring the person safely to shore. We haven't heard any more on that, but people talking about how they'd been ice fishing at Emma Lake, and where they were fishing, they said there was 14, 15 inches of ice. Not the case in this one particular area, which led us then to have a conversation this morning with Sean Jakes, president of the Water Security Agency, as they keep an eye on Saskatchewan's water, whether it's in liquid form or ice form. Just some friendly reminder about being safe on the ice.
You know, as freezing temperatures, you know, settle here in Saskatchewan, WSA does like to remind the public to use caution around all water bodies, as ice thickness can vary across the province. And as you know, we've had a warmer than normal fall, and so ice conditions may not be as stable on many lakes, rivers, ponds, and which can may take several more weeks of cooler weather before the ice is safe. And so, you know, what we do, we like to remind the public that if you're planning any activity on frozen water, whether it's snowmobiling or ice fishing, it's important to observe recent weather conditions to make sure the ice is safe.
It's interesting, isn't it? You know, I think about this person who was cross-country skiing off the shore of Emma Lake. And I saw people posting on Facebook on the Lakeland site, and they were saying that they'd been out ice fishing on Emma and that they had holes cut that were 14 inches deep. But clearly in this area where the person fell through, it really speaks to how it can be so variable on one body of water.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And, you know, ice can look solid from a distance, Brent, but it still could be thin, weak, or inconsistent. And, you know, we do remind the public to, you know, avoid ice that could look slushy, you know, that maybe have thawed and froze again. You know, maybe there's moving water nearby. You have to be cautious. Is layered, you know, caused by sudden temperature changes, you know, or has, you know, structures on it such as pressure ridges. And so, you know, as a guideline, you know, and it's also on our website, you know, we want to remind the public you need at least 10 centimeters to be able to walk on the ice, you know, at least 20 centimeters to drive a snowmobile, 30 centimeters for a car, and 30 plus centimeters for, you know, to drive a truck out on the ice. So those are just some guidelines. But we, you know, we always encourage the public to take, you know, to look closely before you head out onto the ice.
Yeah, some good advice there. And it was interesting, after we had that conversation with Sean Jakes, one of our listeners, Trevor, texted in saying, yeah, I love ice fishing, but man, that's my biggest fear in life, falling through the ice. Oh, I know what you mean. You know, it's one thing if the lake is snow-covered and you can't really see the ice. This is my thinking. But when you're out there and it's clear and the ice is cracking and you see the cracks and you can see down, yeesh. Okay, anything to catch a fish, right? Okay, Evan Bray Show wrapping up today. Brent Lauchs on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.